Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, if you like to gamble, do some online gambling, you can always hit up my official website, katietrop.net. Hit up the Sports Talk with Trop tab, and you will be able to find the Sports Talk with Trop preferred sports books. You'll just see a banner right at the top that says Sports Talk with Trop preferred sports books. Click on that, and you could sign up for multiple sports books, and of course, in participating states, of course. What an interesting weekend of football we had. We had some crazy games, we had some battles, and then we had some typical bullshit that happens from typical teams. So let's get it started with the first ever Black Friday game that we had this year. It went as expected. We have the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. And basically, the Jets do what the Jets do. It didn't matter if they had little Zachary at quarterback or if they had somebody else at quarterback. And this week, it was Tim Boyle, and same exact result. Dude was throwing interceptions. They couldn't get anything going offensively. And essentially, the Dolphins just came out and flat out dominated every single quarter. They got the win 34-13. Tua Tagovailoa had a solid game, 243 yards and a touchdown with two interceptions. Raheem Mostert had a big game, 94 yards and two touchdowns. And then Jaylen Waddle also had a big game, 114 yards. And then Tyreek Hill, of course, he also had a touchdown as well. So it was just another big game offensively from the Miami Dolphins and another big dud from the New York Jets. Moving on to Sunday's games. First matchup we had was the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals, and it went just as expected. I predicted, I believe, like a 16-13 type of game. Maybe I think it was 19-16, something odd like that. And it ended up being a Pittsburgh Steelers win 16-10, very quiet game. Although the Steelers finally went over 400 yards of offense. That's the first time since Ben Roethlisberger retired, by the way. So that tells you how terrible this Pittsburgh Steelers offense has been since he retired two seasons ago. So they're pretty bad, but this game, they actually weren't bad at all. The Bengals were pretty bad, but I mean, that's to be expected since they didn't have any Joe Burrow. Their season has probably gone down the tubes, whereas the Steelers are 7-4, so, and well in line for a playoff spot. So we'll see how they go the rest of the season, but they were able to put it together offensively yesterday. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons, and this was just shockingly dominated by the Falcons from start to finish. You know, they had a huge pick six for a touchdown. And Bijan Robinson finally made an appearance. Still don't know what the hell's been going on with that and between Robinson and the team. But he finally made an appearance, had a big game. He had 91 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And the Saints, I don't know what's going on with them. They are just such a they're just such an odd team to figure out. They haven't really found an identity on the offensive side of the ball. Even though they're putting up some numbers, even though they're looking pretty solid, they lost yesterday to the Falcons 24-15, and it was just an odd game. I mean, really, the Falcons pretty much owned this game from the beginning and really never let go. So the Saints having some issues. I still kind of feel like they're going to win this division because this division is terrible. But, I mean, at this point, it's pretty much up for grabs unless you are the Panthers, pretty much. Speaking of the Panthers, we had the Carolina Panthers at the Tennessee Titans. The Titans won 17-10. Derrick Henry had a nice day, 76 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. But the big news was this morning, the Carolina Panthers fired their coach, Frank Reich. They just hired the dude at the beginning of the season, and they've already canned his ass now. That is That's some dumb ass shit right there. I've always hated when teams do that kind of shit to coaches, to quarterbacks, to star players, where they'll sign them and then immediately fire them or give up on them even before the season's ended. And it's like, I get it. That they're 1-10. That's just as terrible as they were last year. But I don't know, man. You got to give a coach a shot, and to give him only 11 games says a lot. So I guess we kind of know why the Panthers haven't been good for quite some time, because their owner just can't get it together. And by the way, their owners only owned the team like 6-7 years, something like that. And they've already now are on their 6th coach. So it kind of goes to tell you that the owner might want to get some patience, because this is the NFL. And yes, I know it kind of feels like, oh my God, my team hasn't had an immediate turnaround. That doesn't usually happen. You actually usually need to give a coach, a rookie quarterback, and a new system about 3 to 5 years. Now, I know that's kind of difficult for some of these motherfuckers to grasp, but when you got a rookie quarterback, you really shouldn't have expected much for the Panthers this season. As a matter of fact, they're actually about where I expected them to be. Maybe a couple more wins under their belt, but overall, they just weren't a really talented team coming into the season, and they were going to have growing pains with Bryce Young at the quarterback, because he's a rookie. But I don't know, man. That was really stupid, and obviously the Panthers won't have much going into the rest of the season, but we'll see what they do next season. Who ends up being their coach? I mean, maybe this is kind of reactionary, because I kind of feel like with all that's been going on with Harbaugh at Michigan, I feel like he's headed to the back to the NFL next season, regardless of what happens up there. I just kind of feel like the last couple of seasons, it's felt like he's getting closer and closer to coming back to the NFL. And just with all this shit that's been going on with Michigan throughout the season, especially if they win a national championship, I feel like Harbaugh's coming back to the NFL. And maybe that's kind of what their owner's hoping is going to happen, is that he'll want to take over. But I feel like he's going to have other prospects to go out there. But you never know. I mean, they've got a pretty solid core, but to just shit can your coach that quick is pretty stupid, in my opinion. Then we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Indianapolis Colts. Ended up being a pretty solid game here. Colts got the win 27-20. The Colts defense really had some big plays there. Had a couple of good turnovers there. Forced a fumble on the Buccaneers were driving towards the end of the game, and then the Colts just ended up sealing it with a forced fumble in the end. But overall, not a bad game from the Colts, who are actually still in line for the playoffs, which is crazy. Then we had the snooze fest of the day. I actually joked that this game could end up just going down as a tie. We were very close to it happening, but one team really, really fell short. It's the New England Patriots at the New York Giants. The Giants got the win 10-7. So the game started out with Mac Jones starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. He ended up throwing a couple of interceptions, and so at halftime they benched his ass and put in Bailey Zappe. Well, guess what? Nothing changed. He also had, I know he had one interception for sure. Not sure how many he ended up with total, but he had one. But really, the play of the game, if you will, that just kind of would give you an idea of how this game went. The New England Patriots actually went on this game-winning drive, or they went on a drive to actually get down there and get a field goal. Now, of course, you want them to get the touchdown so they could get the win, but they couldn't muster up a touchdown at all. So let's get the field goal and head into overtime, because it was actually a pretty makeable field goal as well. It was not far. It was makeable. And in true New England Patriots fashion this season, it would end up veering to the left, and the Giants would get the win 10-7. That just is what the Patriots season has been all season. It's been a struggle for them offensively, and then even the easy shit has been difficult for them. I don't know what is going on in New England, but they just get more and more pathetic, and they're 2-9 on the season now. So that was just pretty typical to see how that would end. And then, of course, the Giants, yeah, they scored a touchdown, hip-hop hooray, but they only were able to muster up 10 whole points. This was like the battle of who doesn't want to score in yesterday's game, and the Giants were the ones who were able to just get that last field goal there in the fourth quarter to get the win of the two shittiest teams in the league. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans, and I gotta say, for the first time probably ever, you know, I live here in Austin, so usually the games we always get are Dallas Cowboys games and then Houston Texans games, and then usually towards the end of the season, Houston Texans games will start getting blacked out because they're terrible and nobody wants to go see them after that. And so with that being said, you know, I've always hated that we get Texans games because they're just a terrible ass team. Even when they're good, I've never really cared for them. They're stupid. I hate the Texans. I think they're crap, and I've never wanted to watch them. And so usually when they're my option, I'm like, ugh, God. Well, yesterday they were my option, and I actually was happy to choose them as my option because I thought this was going to be a good-ass game, and it ended up being a good-ass game. Jaguars ended up getting the win 24-21. Trevor Lawrence had a big game, 364 yards through the air and a touchdown. Travis Etienne added 56 yards on the ground. And just, you know, C.J. Stroud had yet another good game. He had his struggles towards the end there. But, I mean, you could just tell both teams were really gassed, especially on that last drive there. But it was a good-ass battle. I mean, back and forth between two really good, solid teams. And Jaguars would end up holding on and just walking away with the win. But man, Texans really made the game interesting. Texans actually look like a pretty solid team, and they're not even that good roster-wise. I mean, they do have some good players. Of course, Stroud is making them look really, really good. And then, of course, his receiver, Tank Dell, another rookie, he's having a great season so far. But I mean, outside of them, the Texans are not a good team, but yet here they are at 6-5. They are in playoff position, just depending on what happens throughout the rest of the season. And they put up a really, I mean, they already beat the Jaguars once earlier this season. They put up a good fight yesterday. I mean, they easily could have won it. The only reason why they really lost is they actually even had a shot to tie it up there at the end with a field goal, 58-yard field goal that just would miss. It would just doink off the bottom of the field goal post right there, but it was inches short, and they could have easily taken this game into overtime, but they didn't. But, I mean, great game from both teams, and like I said, I was super shocked that I actually chose to watch a Texans game. That says a lot because, like I said, I do not usually choose to watch a Texans game. I'm usually forced to watch a Texans game because that's the only shit on, but there were actually two games on yesterday, and I chose them. Very, very shocking. But that's because I actually like watching C.J. Stroud, and I actually like the product that they're putting on the field. Plus, Jaguars are also good as well. So a good division battle actually ended up being a really fun game to watch. Then we had the Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos. And guess what, everybody? The Denver Broncos have the longest winning streak in the league right now. They are on a 5-game winning streak, and they are winning. And they actually had a really good game yesterday. They got the win 29-12. Russell Wilson had 134 yards and a touchdown. But it's really all about the red zone. He's been having, he's just been great and unstoppable in the red zone. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even have any turnovers in the red zone. So once you get the Broncos in the red zone, it's pretty much a guarantee that they're going to score. So while it took the Broncos a while to finally get it going and finally find their identity, I think a lot of it, though, has to do with the defense, because defensively, they've really stepped it up and got it going. But other than that, I mean, they've really finally got it going, and the Broncos look like a pretty solid team. I don't know if how I feel about them actually making the playoffs. And if they do make the playoffs, I kind of feel like they're going to be one and done. But from the way they started to where they are now, huge turnaround, playing great. And then on the opposite side of the ball, unfortunately for the Browns, the injury bug continues to hit them. Their killer, Myles Garrett. Unfortunately, he said he heard a pop in his shoulder. Now, they did, he did undergo an MRI today, and it doesn't appear there's a tear or anything. So that's good. And he's considered day-to-day. But still, you don't want to hear that he is injured, because he is why the Browns are 7-4. Yes, they got their asses beat yesterday, but he's been a huge, huge driving force for them to get some wins this year. So the injury bug just keeps on hitting the Cleveland Browns. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals, and the Rams went off. They got the win 37-14. They got their rookie running back back, Kyren Williams, who had 143 yards on the ground and a couple of touchdowns through the air as well. So, I mean, he ended up with a total of 204 yards, and he's obviously a huge driving force for their offense, and they really want that guy to continue to keep playing, because they put him in the game, and he just makes a huge difference. Turning to the Cardinals on the other side, they're just a terrible-ass team. I mean, good for Kyler Murray that he's playing well ever since he came back. He had 256 yards and a touchdown, so he didn't have a bad game. But the rest of the team, they ain't got much talent around him, and they've got a lot of work to do. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Las Vegas Raiders. And, I mean, the Raiders made it interesting at first. They were actually up 14-0. And then the Chiefs said, we spotted you those 14 points. Now we're just going to go off. And they would end up going off for 31 total points and getting the win 31-17. Yeah, that's right. The Raiders scored 14 points to start the game and would only muster up 3 points in the second half of the game. So not much from the Raiders after that. But a big game from Mahomes, had 298 yards and 2 touchdowns. And his receiver of choice was actually Rasheen Rice with 107 yards and a touchdown. So, like I said, Chiefs, if they find another guy outside of Kelce, they'll be locked in. And actually, Rice has been the dude for the Chiefs for a couple weeks now. So we'll see if he's able to maintain it. But another big win by the Chiefs. Then we had the Buffalo Bills at the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Bills actually made it a really good game up until the fourth quarter. They were dominating this game from start to finish. They were causing turnovers. They were getting in good field position for scoring. But unfortunately, you know, they had one blocked field goal, which obviously would cost them towards the end of the game. They had another missed field goal. So they had their follies, and they let the Eagles just stick around in this game. And then the Eagles do what the Eagles do. They would eventually force Josh Allen, who actually had a really, really stellar game. He had 339 yards through the air with 2 touchdowns, and then 81 yards rushing on the ground with 2 touchdowns. But the thing that bothered him the most was the interception that he threw in the fourth quarter, and that basically was the turnaround for the Bills and the Eagles in this one, because the Eagles would intercept it, they would go on to score, take the lead, that wouldn't, you know, put the Bills down and out, because the Bills actually would drive back down the field and score again, but then they gave the ball back to the Eagles, and I don't know what the fuck they were doing on defense on this last drive. But they were just letting the Eagle, or they were just, yeah, they were just letting the Eagles just keep driving down the field. Now, the field goal, the game-tying field goal, was completely unexpected, because it was really rainy, terrible weather in this game yesterday. They had some wind, so I'm thinking, you know, this is like, I think like a 58, 59-yard field goal. Their field goal kicker, he even missed a field goal or two yesterday as well. So none of them were gimmies yesterday, which is how the weather was. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe the Bills did just enough to get this win. No, they did not. Of course, the Eagles would end up making the field goal tying the game and going into overtime. The Bills would win the coin toss, and they would drive down the field, and unfortunately, they would not make it because there was some miscommunication on the last play between Josh Allen and the receiver. The receiver went one way. Josh Allen thought he was going another way, and so it would cost them a touchdown. They would make the field goal, but unfortunately for them, you know, the Bills' defense was already pretty much shot in the fourth quarter, and by overtime, they were really shot. And they just kept letting the Eagles drive down the field, get chunk play after chunk play. And then ultimately, of course, Jalen Hurts would run in the touchdown, the game-winning touchdown for the Eagles to win 37-34. And when I say run in on this touchdown, I kid you not. It's like the Bills had no idea who the fuck was at quarterback. Because in my opinion, if Jalen Hurts is your quarterback, and my defense is playing against Jalen Hurts, I'm assuming a run is 50-50. He's either going to drop back and pass, or he's going to run. And then just having him run the ball, especially in the red zone, is nothing new. Well, the Bills acted like it was something new because they parted like the fucking Red Sea and just let him basically walk right into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. So the Bills' defense, in my opinion, really, really let them down in the fourth quarter in overtime. And it just sucks for Josh Allen because he really did have overall a spectacular game. He was pretty much the best guy on the field yesterday, but his team fell short. And the Bills did what the Bills do, where they just, you know, fell short on those couple of field goals they missed. You know, they had a couple of stupid penalties. They had a couple of stupid turnovers. And the Eagles did what they always do. They may be down and out, but they never give up. Even when they have penalties called against them, even when they keep getting backed up. Hell, even when it's a big, long-ass fucking field goal you think they can't make, they always fucking make it. So if you let the Eagles just hang around, they're going to win. It's what they always fucking do, at least this season. It's what they always do. I've watched numerous Eagles games at this point, and it's pretty much been the same song and dance where they look like they're going to lose this game, and then they're like, nah, nah. And the opposing team just lets them stay in it. And then all of a sudden, final score is Eagles win. So, I mean, it doesn't matter how they win. They win, and they keep on winning. And they're 10-1, and there's nothing else to say about it. And then Sunday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens at the Los Angeles Chargers. Baltimore Ravens, domination all the way. Baltimore won 20-10. And still, stupid-ass Brandon Staley still has a job as the Chargers coach. I do not know how this guy still has a job. He is terrible. His defense last night actually wasn't terrible, but they weren't great either. And their offense looked disheveled. They couldn't get anything going at all. And he still has a job today. But the Ravens, on the other hand, looked really solid, looked great defensively, of course. Looked really good offensively. Lamar Jackson had no issues. His receiver, Zay Flowers, you know, he's been a solid guy he can look to, but he hasn't really been scoring a lot of touchdowns. Well, he had a couple of touchdowns last night, so he seems to be finding the end zone as well. And the Ravens keep on rolling, and the Chargers keep on sucking. Moving on to Monday Night Football tonight, we have the snooze fest that is going to be the Chicago Bears at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite. Justin Jefferson is not expected to play tonight. You know, the Chicago Bears, one of the worst teams in the league this year. They are so bad offensively, but they're also just terrible defensively as well. The Vikings, they've just had to deal with all the injuries. And even though they've had all the injuries, they still keep getting the wins. They are at home tonight. The Bears are awful. So I just kind of expect the Vikings to roll in this one 27-13. Now let's move on to some basketball and the top 10 NBA power rankings this week. We actually do have a few new teams who have entered the fray here. I mean, that's no shock. But the top is about the same. just because, you know, number one, still the Boston Celtics. They're 13-4. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. Also this week, they got a big win over the Milwaukee Bucks, and it really wasn't even a close game. They pretty much dominated the game from start to finish. And I mean, Drew Holiday has been an amazing addition for this team. Porzingis as well. He did suffer an injury this week. He's expected, I guess, day to day is what I last saw. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be a major injury. But Drew Holiday has been an excellent addition for this team. Him and Jason Tatum, they are working flawlessly together. So right now, I can't knock the Boston Celtics. They're beating the good teams. That, you know, they've lost a couple of weird games. You know, they lost to the Magic as well. But, I mean, other than that, the Celtics are looking like the Celtics do. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 12-5. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And, I mean, Giannis and Lillard are starting to get going. It took a little bit of time. I mean, as expected. But now they are getting going and they look damn good together. So it's going to be interesting to see how the season progresses on, how much better the two of them get. But the Bucks, looking damn good right now. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Philadelphia 76ers. Overall record of 11-5. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've started to fall off a bit. You know, they got really hot to start the season, but they've kind of been up and down the last week and a half. But, you know, they've got a lot of good players, and there really isn't anything bad to say about them. You know, Joel Embiid having an MVP-type season. Tyrese Maxey, he's really taken on the role as a lead point guard and just has been flourishing all season. And they also play defense as well, which is what I think is is probably what they have against other teams. You know, I mean, the Celtics play defense, but they're more of an offensive team, whereas the 76ers are more of a balanced team. With the Sixers, it's more injuries. Can Embiid stay healthy all season long? That's really the question. We'll see if he's able to maintain, but right now he's playing at an MVP level, as he usually does. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team we haven't really talked about yet, the Phoenix Suns. They are 11-6, and they are currently on a 7-game winning streak. So they have completely elevated themselves into the power rankings this week just because they are playing fantastic. Devin Booker, huge couple of games over the weekend. And then Kevin Durant, he was out yesterday's game, but didn't matter because Booker stepped it up, got the win for them. But Durant is actually having statistically one of his best seasons since his MVP season. So that's telling you how well the Suns are playing. And hell, Bradley Beal, you know, he was injured to start the season, came back for a couple of games, and now he's back to being injured with this lower back injury. So that's taken away some offense from them. But I mean, right now, Booker and Durant are looking like quite the duo. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 12-4. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. And I mean, they are just gelling. I mean, speaking of well-balanced, this team is very well-balanced offensively and defensively. They just look really solid. Gobert is fitting in. Ant is just scoring the points. Karl Anthony Towns, he's doing it both offensively and defensively. And then, of course, you got Mike Conley having another phenomenal season as well. So the Timberwolves, we'll see if they're able to maintain this all season long. But they're looking really good right now. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Sacramento Kings. Overall record of 9-6. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. And they've been fantastic since De'Aaron Fox has come back from his injury. Sabonis has been fantastic as well. He's been having a great season. So both Fox and Sabonis really dominating things. And like I said, ever since Fox came back from injury, offensively, the Kings have been lights out. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 10-7. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they are actually playing really well. You know, they started the season off kind of shaky, but now LeBron and AD both are playing solid. You know, AD had a great game the other night. But, I mean, that's just what it is with AD. It's like one game he'll drop 40 points and have a double-double. Then the next game he'll drop 3 points and we'll lose. And so that's what really sucks about this team is we're so AD-centric is if he goes off, we play a great game. If he doesn't show up, then it's like, what the fuck? So the Lakers are what they are right now. But, I mean, they were the first team to move on the in-season tournament this year. So, I mean, they dominated that. So that's got to count for something. And they have had a couple of really solid wins. LeBron is just playing fantastic, especially he's about to turn freaking 39 years old here in a month. So he's playing great. It's just, unfortunately, we go as AD goes, and he's way too up and down for me. But right now, Lakers playing pretty solid. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I didn't think we'd be talking about at all, but I have to, and that would be the Orlando Magic, because they are essentially the hottest team in the league. Overall record of 12-5, and they are on a 7-game winning streak right now. And that's not the only winning streak they've had. They've had a couple. They're just a really young core led by Paolo Banchero, who's having a phenomenal season so far himself. But they're really young, and they're playing fast and loose, and they're not just getting wins against shit teams either. Like, they've beat the Celtics, they've beat the Lakers, I believe they beat the Bucks. I know they've beat a handful of really good teams here. I mean, a 7-game winning streak, you're not just playing the Pistons the whole time. And they're playing well in the in-season tournament as well. So, I mean, while I don't know if this is going to last for the entire season, they're looking really good right now, and I had to throw them in the top 10 because they are doing so well. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that has now taken a tumble over the last couple of weeks, and that would be the Dallas Mavericks. Overall record of 10-6. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And they've really just, they've been up and down the last couple of weeks. You know, they started off the season really, really hot. But, you know, with the Mavs, they just don't play that well defensively. They're fantastic on the offensive side of ball, especially Luka. Luka is just leading the team in basically every single category you can, from points per game to rebounds per game to assists per game to, I believe, blocks per game. So the guy is phenomenal, but outside of him, there's a lot of questions, and who knows if they're going to be able to maintain what they could do for an entire season. But they're still a really good team, and they haven't fallen out of the power rankings just yet. But they are starting to stumble just a bit. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder, still playing really well, 11-5 on the season so far, 8-2 in their last 10 games. Chet Holmgren looking solid still, has not fallen off at all. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he has been the leader of this squad. And, you know, speaking of fast and loose, like I was talking about with the Magic, it's the same thing with the Thunder. Very fast and loose. They could score a lot of points at any given moment. And Holmgren is adding a huge force in the middle for them, which I think has been what's been giving them the edge as of late. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep this up all season long, but they definitely have looked pretty damn good to start the season. Now let's recap where we are in the in-season tournament, because the first round is going to be, I believe, ending tomorrow, or we should have some more teams moving on by tomorrow, that's for sure. But I believe it ends tomorrow, and then the second half of it begins on Friday. I could be wrong, but I know we're going to have some more teams winning their groups here pretty soon. So let's see where we're at in the East, beginning with East Group A. We already knew that the Indiana Pacers had won that group on Friday. But officially the Pistons are completely out of that group. Then in East Group B, right now the Bucks are leading this group at 3-0, and the Wizards are completely out of the tournament. And then in East Group C, right now the Orlando Magic are leading that group, they're 3-1, and out of that group right now are the Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. Then in the West Group A, like I said, the Lakers already smashed that group, so they're just waiting to see who they face in the second round. And then in this group, man, a lot of teams took a tumble. The Jazz, the Blazers, and the Grizzlies, all three are out of the tournament. And then in West Group B, right now, currently the Pelicans have the lead with a 3-1 record. And shockingly, there's quite a few teams out in this group as well. And a couple of really good teams, starting with the Nuggets, the Mavericks, and the Clippers. They are all out in this tournament. Then West Group C, the Kings are currently in the lead right now at 3-0. And out in this group are the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. So like I said, we should have some more teams moving on Tuesday. And then on Friday's show, we should have more clarification of what's going to happen in the second round and ultimately who's going to win this convoluted in-season tournament. So, yeah, like I said, notice I did not have the Nuggets in my top 10. That was kind of difficult to completely drop them out, but, you know, they've been kind of falling off. And I kind of wanted to talk about a couple of other teams that are on fire right now, but that doesn't mean that I think they have no shot. They're still one of the best teams in the league. It's just they're not playing that great right now. Injury bug has hit them, of course. It's looking like, though, they're going to be getting Jamal Murray back here any day. So, but yeah, the top 10 NBA power rankings kind of shaken up a bit. But it's because it's early in the season. I mean, we really don't know how the NBA season really is going to shake out until around February, once we get to around the All-Star break. So we got a lot of time, and the power rankings are probably going to be shifting every single week, probably for the next month for sure. So yeah, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, people, and I will talk to you all on Wednesday.